Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché. This is episode 177 for October 10th of 2022. And on tonight's episode, we have got TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. Hey, Shannon.
What's going on, brother? It is good to be undefeated. And we get to come to the house to play a good Oklahoma team that's coming, Oklahoma State, that is, that's coming in here, because we got to really understand that's only one good team in Oklahoma right now, which is crazy. That hadn't happened in a while. But anyway, they're coming in, and we've got to be ready to play.
Yes, we do. And also rounding out tonight's podcast panel, we've also got SI writer Nate Cross. How you doing, Nate?
I'm feeling great and doing good. The Frogs got the win this weekend, so everything's looking great.
Well, let's just kick it right off, because TCU goes up to Lawrence, Kansas, and comes away with a 38-31 win against the number 19 Kansas Jayhawks. A win on the road is always a good win, and this game had its ups and downs, probably the most stressful game we've seen out of TCU since last season. And Shannon, let's just go ahead and start with you. I think one of the biggest concerns, I think, as a TCU fan watching this game was some of the miscues on defense.
Yeah, it was frustrating because it just wasn't our best day defensive wise. I mean, we missed a lot of tackles, and it hadn't stuck out to me like it did Saturday. Even with last week, I know we had some missed tackles, but I wouldn't have said that last week. This week, I'm like, wow, we're not tackling well. It's like we're getting to the ball. We were a little slower getting to the ball. That presence of gang tackling wasn't necessarily there the whole game. We just didn't look the same. But, you know, we found a way to make, you know, less stops than they did in order to go up. And so we got out with the W. So I'm cool with that. But glad we got that out of the way in that environment last week or yesterday, because coming back home, I think we need to clean some stuff up and get ready for this strong Oklahoma team.
Well, how much do you think, and as a former linebacker, the linebacking crew, I mean, you know, be honest with you, Winters didn't have his name called a lot, if you're watching the broadcast, hardly at all. I think the only time I heard his name mentioned at one point in time was when he actually had to tap out of the game for a couple of plays because he got dinged up. Mm-hmm. How much of the motion and some of the misdirection that Kansas was throwing at this defense do you think really kind of contributed to the lack of speed to the ball and that kind of gang tackling?
Well, especially when the quarterback went down, the starter, and I felt that they had a different set of plays for the backup, because if you notice, the tight end was running scot-free. When I see a tight end running scot-free, I think that's linebacker. So the linebacker, especially with a 3-4 type of situation, that's got to be a linebacker, if not safety. Somebody has him, and they found him open at least three times. I could have missed more, but at least three times wide open. And so that lets me know that there was some misdirection. We're not reading our keys. Something was going on. And it, you know, after one time, I was like, okay, that's twice. And then three times, I mean, now these are just terrible bust holes. So they're not on the same page. You know, something was off. And so I think it threw them off a lot, because you know, you're right. The linebackers were scattered out. We didn't hear very many calls, especially with Winters. You know, he's our guy, you know? And so, I just think we just had an off day, and it's okay. It happens. You know, I'm not by any means, you know, getting crazy, getting hysterical. We just had a bad day. And again, we found a way to pull it off. So yeah, we have some things to clean up. I don't know how healthy we are right now. I hope we're pretty healthy. I hadn't seen anybody go down. I know Thomason went down, but he got up and I think he just got the wind knocked out of him. And so, you know, I think we'll be okay. I think we got a lot to clean up, but we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think overall, from an injury standpoint, the team seems to be pretty healthy. Obviously, there are a couple of question marks, and obviously we have, you know, we still have a couple of key offensive players that are not ready yet to come back. But overall, I think you come out of a road win or a road game like that in Kansas, and especially that environment, they were ready to play. They gave us their best shot. It was a very high intensity kind of a situation, especially with game day there for the first time ever. It was a sold out stadium for, I think, the first time in, I don't remember how many years they said it was. It was a ridiculous number. But I mean, yeah, I mean, you go into a situation like that, and boy, to come away with a win is great. To come away with a win and be healthy is beyond, you know.
And let me say this, Jack. I'm sorry, Kansas is, and you know, I was waiting to see. Like, I hadn't really paid attention to them, but I'm gonna give credit where credit due because I don't want to seem like we just came in there and we beat a fluke team. Kansas is a really good football team, guys.
Yeah,
they're the real deal. We beat a real deal football team, and we'll see how they pan out for the rest of the conference. But they're gonna beat some big teams. They're gonna win some games in this conference because I looked at both sides of the ball. Special teams, they are well coached up, and they have a team to where it could change that program for the long haul. I mean, that's the kind of team they have.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I am happy that Kansas is no longer a basement dweller in this league.
Sure.
You know, it is beyond. I'm beyond happy, really, to be honest with you, to have Kansas in this position because this really does make the Big 12 better. And you want that sort of competition week in and week out. And this was something that we signed up for. We wanted this. We wanted this, right? So having Kansas, and they are a very well-coached team, and I really do hope that Kansas can hold on to this coaching staff over the next couple of years because I think they've got something going there. And it's going to be very interesting to see what they do over the next couple of years. But they do. I agree with you, Shannon. That team showed me a lot. I think this was probably one of the better defensive teams we certainly have played all season long, and certainly one of the better offensive teams that we've played. And the schemes that they're showing the defense, I think it was good for the defense to see that now and for us to still be able to come away with a W because you know what they're going to get next week with Oklahoma State is going to be on another level. And we can get that bad game out now, I think that'll be a good thing.
Yeah,
Nate,
yeah.
Let's bring you in on this, and let's talk a little bit about the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, the Frogs didn't have as much success running the ball, but they were able to take care of the ball through the air outside of that one interception at the end of the first half, which was just a Hail Mary throw, and, you know, whatever. I'll discount that one. Overall, though, I think the offense seemed to, when they needed to actually put up points, they got points. And I know you're a big fan of Max Duggan, and I tell you what, I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Max so far this season.
No, I agree with you 100%. The way Max has handled the ball and just felt more relaxed with it, I feel like he's just done a great job with it, and I think the receivers have really helped with that. Even though there were a few drops this game, but I feel like Kansas's defense was really solid, so those drops weren't as big of a deal to me as some of the catches that were made. For instance, Tay Barber going over top of the Kansas defenders to get the touchdown, or Quentin Johnson's nice grab for a touchdown. They all helped Max out, but to credit Max, he threw them right where they needed to be to get that touchdown. And we seemed to have an answer for everything Kansas did. And I think we just had enough stops to get us ahead of Kansas in this game. So I really was impressed with this, and I really think it showed TCU's true colors and what the rest of the season is going to be like.
Well, you mentioned those drops, and a lot of those drops – not a lot, but several of them were kind of surprising, were made by Savion Williams, who's had an unbelievable season up to this particular point. I think Coach Dykes has specifically singled him out as being one of the top receivers who have really kind of come a long way over the course of this year. But Quentin Johnston was the guy that I know all Frog fans were like, when are we going to get this guy the ball? And he had a breakout game on Saturday. Yeah. And I think this kind of points a little bit towards what we can see out of this Frog offense. This kind of does remind me, and we keep making comparisons to 2014, and that's probably an unfair comparison, but I don't think we had another offense with as many weapons and many answers to, like you said, to what the other team can do than that 2014 team. I mean, Savion Williams, when you get him going, obviously Darius Davis, now Quentin Johnston, you got Henderson, you've got plays now out of tight ends. You got, you know, the running backs out of the backfield can actually catch the ball, and the offensive line's doing a great job with opening up the run. This team is stacked offensively with a lot of weapons. That has got to make the rest of the Big 12 a little nervous playing for the Frogs.
No, I would 100% agree, and I think we put the Big 12 on notice, and I feel like Max has now entered that Heisman talk. I'm not saying he's a front runner, but I think he's entered that talk about being a front runner soon. if he continues this playing. But credit his receivers and his weapons, such as his tight ends as well. They've all helped him out, and I think that's credited to a great TCU offense this season.
Yeah, and I think coaching has made a big difference about that. And speaking of coaching, Shannon, Nate made a good point. We kind of put the rest of the Big 12 on notice, and one of those guys who noticed over the weekend was former TCU coach Gary Patterson. Did you see that tweet about him on the sideline at the Texas OU game?
It's just amazing. Yes, I saw that and I heard it, but it's like people are so delusional. Like, people, we need to wake up, guys. Like, it's not to get this Gary anything, but because of how things happen, and the facts are the facts, and we just need to cut it like it is. Gary didn't like the way it went down. He didn't leave under his under his control. He didn't leave how he probably dreamt of living this program that he's built. None of that stuff. So the reason he's asking what the score is, because we're undefeated going into playing Texas. You know, Oklahoma, that's a big deal. He wants us to be undefeated. If he can hand us the first L, it would just rock his world. I'm not saying he don't love the Frogs. I'm not saying none of that. What I'm saying is it ain't that he's checking in on the Frogs to see how the Frogs are doing. So the people who tweet, oh, Gary, da-da-da-da-da, you're mistaken. That ain't why he asked. He asked because he wanted to see where we the game, the score is for his own personal reasons, and it has to do with beating us. So, yeah, people wake up. Gary wants to beat the heck out of us. If that would make his career in his mind to beat the Frogs. With the horn, with those Texas folk, trust me.
Yeah, and just to clarify, for those of you who didn't see the tweet, so apparently during one of the celebrations of one of the many touchdowns that Texas made during OU, somebody had videoed Patterson, and he turned around, and he just wanted to know the score of the TCU-Kansas game. And, of course, a lot of the people were taking that as, man, look how loyal he is to the Frogs, even though he's wearing burnt orange. Like, no, that's not the case at all. I'm with you, Shannon. It's like, no, he wants to know for one reason and one reason only, because he's got a giant circle on his calendar for that day when we go to play Texas. And he wants to know, how did they handle Kansas? That's exactly what he wants to know. He's an X and O guy all the way.
That's it.
So that is, that
was hilarious. Nothing to do with caring or his, you know, none of that stuff. It's nothing wrong. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong, but it's definitely not because he cares about TCU. It's definitely not that.
No, and to be honest with you, there's a lot of players that are here still on this roster that he really does care for. And there's a lot of staff members that are here that he really does care for. And there's nothing about that. But yeah, when he's asking what the score is in the middle of a game, he's not looking.
Yeah.
He's not like, oh, I really want to know how my old team is doing because I really care about
them. And he's in the Cotton Bowl, 100,000 people. You know, come on.
Yeah, that's not the case. That was funny though. That was a good sidebar on Saturday. Well, yes. Overall, you know, TCU comes into this game, and a lot of the questions we had on this podcast last week, and a lot of across the nation was, is Kansas for real? Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of people were asking the same thing about TCU. Is TCU for real, or is OU really that bad? Well, I think we got an answer for one of those, and that is OU really is that bad, or at least they are now without Gilbert. And I found that very interesting as a quick sidebar with the Red River Shootout. You know, Gilbert played two quarters against us before he got knocked out. And I'm going to bring back Nate on this question here in just a minute. But before he got knocked out, we scored 55. I think Texas scored 49. So, I mean, it's an interesting comparison when you actually take a look at both of those individual teams. I think Texas and TCU right now, especially Texas with a very healthy Ewers, is certainly going to be at least the media darling moving forward, but I think TCU matches up very, very well for that in the future. So, Gary, if you are still listening to the podcast, keep that date circled because we're coming for you. And so it'll be interesting to see how that works. But speaking of knocking quarterbacks out, Shannon, you mentioned this earlier. Unfortunately, I was really, really upset when Kansas's starting quarterback got knocked out, because Daniels is a fantastic player and I really enjoyed watching him play up to that point. And this was not a, you know, bad hit or anything like that. The young man was doing his best to try to, get his team into the end zone and was trying to do too much when he should have thrown the ball away and just got, you know, ran into a wall on the sideline. It just happens. Not literally. I'm just talking about a wall of players. But, Nate, one of the things, one of the storylines that's now coming out of this weekend is that they're dubbing TCU, what is it, the quarterback killers?
I love it. That's awesome.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that is correct. They are dubbing them as the quarterback killers, and particularly one player out of Jamoy Hodge, which is unfortunate because you could tell that he really felt bad after the Oklahoma situation. I mean, you could see tears in his eyes. And then to go on to this, and it just him happened to fall on the Kansas quarterback, and now he's being labeled as a quarterback killer. I feel that it's just an unfortunate situation that it happened, and it happened to be back-to-back games, and people are calling for him to be suspended and stuff. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I feel like now that our players have that theory in our head, and you saw it this game, missed tackles, I feel like they're getting that theory in their head that they need to play a little bit softer on hitting so they don't get labeled this way.
I hope not. I hope it's the exact opposite.
I hope that's
opposite.
Not the case.
I would wear that label with pride.
Pride. Listen, I'm telling you right now, brother, this game is violent, and I'm talking from a linebacker, from my own vision, from my own thoughts, you will get yourself hurt thinking about all that other crap. Listen, this guy, we know what we know. We're not a dirty team. We hadn't been a dirty team. I don't care what the people say. Let them. That's football. It comes with sports. We saw what we saw. And quite frankly, had it been on the other foot and we had some dirty hits that were not called that we could turn into. I mean, there were some hits. There's been some hits on us that were not called that pretty violent, pretty dirty. And you don't it's football to me. If they call it, they call it. They don't, strap up your boots. Next play. Let's go get it. You know, let's go win this next play. That's how it is. So for Hodges to even I respect him as a player. I respect our defense, but I'll tear up, man. Listen, you got to leave that. You care when that clock says 0-0-0, that's when you can start having feelings. But when there's time on that clock, that stuff's got to go out the window. You are there to win a game. You're not trying to play dirty, but between the whistle, you're going 100 miles an hour. And if you guys saw the Oklahoma hit, yes, I'm cool with the call on the penalty, the roughing the passer. But what I'm not cool is him trying to hurt the quarterback. Because if you saw it, he was already when you're going 100 miles an hour, guys. Listen, a car can have the best brakes in the world, and going 100 miles an hour, here's his brake. It ain't stopping on the dime. Okay, you know what I mean? So it's just one of those situations where he slid. He tried to go for. He was already lunging. The guy slid. It was a hit. It was, you know, they got the foul, but. To say and label us as or the team as, even if they do, I could care less about that. What the team can't do is fall into that trap. You know, we're here to make tackles, and if they, you know, I don't think that's the reason why they're missing tackles, because if they're getting that stuff into their head, it's going to be a long season. Hell, once the media finds that out, they'll be having that crap in every game all day long. You know what I mean? So it's all good, man. I don't think of no one being dirty. I don't, you know, I really don't can't stand for dirty play anyway. It's not my style, so I would never really vouch for that. So he's just got to keep playing football, and it'll things will look up. I mean, the quarterbacks will come back. He didn't kill them. It's part of the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we go back to even when you were playing, Shannon, I mean, one of the things that really kind of defined the TCU defense was just how hard-hitting they were.
Oh,
and
man.
I can't remember how many games it had been where it was just, you know, and we're not talking brutal injuries, but guys that get up and are just kind of like winded, they're limping off, they need a little bit of help, you know, they're because you guys were taking it to them, like you said, every single play. And that's football, right? If you're going to play at this level, you're going to enter into this field and you're going to strap up. Guess what? You know, you're going to get our best shot, and you better be ready for it, because if you're not ready for it, it's going to be a long day.
It is what it is, man. I've seen guys with broken hands, broken thumbs. I've seen guys with their bones are coming, their legs this way, bones are that way, and you literally can't look at it. You have to just, like, you can't think about it. You got to go to the next play, because if you think about it, you're going to get yourself hurt. I mean, it's still a violent game out there, so – you know, to when you're playing not to lose. You're playing with, you know, you're trying to win for your team. Things are going to happen. That's why this game is the most watched and the best game in the world, right? People love this crazy game that we play. And, you know, unfortunately, people get hurt, you know, and so, but there are dirty players, and there's no place for this people, dirty players in this game, because it's already violent enough as it is. But when you play
you mean
the game,
like maybe an Oklahoma offensive lineman that may sucker punch a player they're on the ground, something like that.
Yeah, sure, maybe. Things like that, you know. But hey, you know, it gets dirty down there sometimes. You know, it's a fight, and so I've been a part of those files. And
the
it's
trenches,
nothing nice.
As WC likes to remind us.
Yeah, the trenches, man. It could be. It ain't for the weak-hearted. I'm telling you, sometimes it is what it is, but. Man, football is a violent game. I love it. The people love it. We all love it. And you just got to take the good with the bad. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. But it is unfortunate Daniels did leave this game. But I, you know, it may have ended up being the best thing for Kansas at that point because, you know, the backup quarterback came in, and you were right, Shannon. And they definitely had some plays dialed up for him. And he was not. I mean, he started a lot of games for them last year, and he is definitely a mobile quarterback. And he was hitting passes left and right. And that, going back to what Nate was saying with our receivers helping Max out, but Max was throwing the ball very well. There were a lot of really bad passes that his receivers bailed him out on time and time and time again. It was one of those things where I felt like in the pit of my stomach, it's like, oh no, it's happening again. Like they're gonna get all the catches, all the crazy miraculous things are going to happen. They got the touchdown, called a touchdown, even though it looked on the replay that the guy's knee was out of bounds. I mean, it was just one of those things where the dominoes felt like they were falling in one direction, and I was gonna have to go and hit the Tums before the end of the game. But TCU comes away with a victory. They needed a score. They got a score. They needed a stop. They got a stop. That's all that really matters on the road. And a win is a win, and we are undefeated going into this week with Oklahoma State. And, guys, it feels pretty good. And, Nate, I want to get your opinion. On campus, what's the buzz like now that these guys are back from Kansas? How do the students feel about this?
I think everybody's just super hyped up. I feel like they're getting that glimpse of being a good, solid team again. We haven't had that in such a long time. I mean, like, there's people that went 4 years at TCU without having a good team. And so some of these people are like, wow, we've never experienced this before. And so, like, you're starting to see the stadium start to pack up again. Which is really exciting. And I think this next game versus Oklahoma State, it's going to be a packed house, and they're going to bring the heat, and the students are going to be very, very electric.
Well, let's go ahead and just jump into the upcoming game on Saturday. It's a 2:30 start this time, not a 11 a.m., which would have been our fourth straight 11 a.m. start. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at this point in time. We might as well just keep going with 11 a.m. starts, but 2:30, Oklahoma State, the Cowboys roll into Fort Worth, and this is going to be an interesting one. It's going to be a top 10 matchup, another top 25 matchup for the Frogs. This will be the third week in a row, but this one's going to be a little different. I think Oklahoma State at this point looks to be the real deal as far as the number one team in the Big 12, not just simply because of their ranking, but I just think they have got a complete team up and down in all three phases of the game. And Shannon, we'll kind of go around the horn here, talk a little bit about what you think about Oklahoma State and the expectations of the game, and then we'll come back around and we'll get everyone's predictions. But what do you feel about Oklahoma State at this point in the season for this team?
Well, I agree with you. I do believe they have done well to represent the Big 12 up to this point. As far as being ranked in the top seven, top 10, I'm sure we'll see how things shake out, top five maybe, but they are a complete football team. This will be one of those games where we're going to have to play four quarters, and we're going to have to play good offense, good defense, good special teams. Like we're going to have to win special team battle. Like this will be that type of game. They have a great running system. They have a great quarterback who you have to contain. He can throw it or he can tuck it and go. They have great receivers. I mean, they have it all. I've been watching them since the first week they played. I said, this team's going to be for real. I got a little worried. I'll be honest with you. It was just the first week, and I'm like, man, this team is going to be for real. And so this will be another test for us to see. You know, last week was kind of – yesterday was kind of fluky, you know, with Kansas game day, all that stuff. You know, we didn't play our best game. I'm saying to you, we can play our best game and have an opportunity to lose this game. That's what I'm saying. We can play the best game we played all year, but this team is so for real, that might not even be enough. So I think it's going to come down to mistakes. I think it's going to come down to missed tackles. I think it's going to come down to everything that you hear during the week, all the corrections you will get from video on Monday when you report that you did wrong. If you correct all those things, and you know, I think we'll have a chance. Now, you know, again, we're playing pretty good when we play pretty good, but this team is real deal. So all I'm saying, that's not a knock. They're a great team. We're a great team. But it's going to boil down. When you have great teams play each other, it boils down to mistakes. It boils down to who's the most disciplined team, who's going to wrap up, who's going to tackle, penalties, all that stuff. That's what this game is going to boil down to, which makes for a good game.
Yeah, definitely. Nate, how about you? How do you feel about Oklahoma State at this point?
I agree with Shannon. They're the real deal. After watching them week after week, Spencer Sanders continues to impress me more and more. I feel like he has kind of a similar story to Max Duggan. He's been a good quarterback, a solid quarterback, but he's waited till this year to finally come out of his shell. And he's got the receivers and offensive talent. I do feel like they are gettable at the defensive end, and I feel like we can score on them. But like Shannon said, I feel like it's going to come down to the wire and who makes more mistakes and who's going to miss more tackles. And so it's going to be a dogfight to the end. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be a game where the Frogs, they don't have to be perfect, but they have to be pretty darn close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't see this team, Oklahoma State, making a lot of mistakes. Now, Texas Tech did show that there were some kinks in that armor. But, you know, they're going to have a week to work on those things and correct those things. So don't expect a whole lot out of that Texas Tech game to really kind of carry over as they come into Fort Worth. But to Nate's point, there are some very interesting matchups, especially on the defensive side of Oklahoma State, where I think that us offensively, we kind of match up very, very well. And I think that gives us an opportunity that we can't obviously start behind. So we can't start on a first and 15 or a first and 20 and have these these sort of penalties kind of kill drives. Because if you give the ball back to Oklahoma State enough times, they're going to burn you, period. So we have to hold on the ball. We have to work on the clock. We have to do all the things that we were doing really at Kansas. And we just have to do them better. And I think this team has the capability of doing that. I think Shannon's right. You know, you can't miss tackles on an Oklahoma State team. Just not going to happen. You can't allow the tight end to run free on you with Oklahoma State, period. You can't have some of these miscues in the linebacker. You can't have a three-man rush and never get any pressure on this quarterback. You've got to dial up some blitzes.
Yeah.
You've got to get some pressure on him, period. And if you don't, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Now, on the other side of the ball, you know, I really do think offensively, I think we do a very good job running the ball right now. And I think that if we establish that run early and use it to our advantage, I think we can control the clock. I think we can control the game. And I think that will be the key to the success. And, of course, special teams is doing well. They're not great, but they're doing well. And I think as long as they just continue doing what they're doing, I think that that won't be a negative, but I think it will certainly help us out. But overall, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be but it's going to be one for the ages. It's going to be a fun one. And I think, Nate, I think what you're hearing on campus and what you're seeing right now as far as people filling up that stadium, it is going to be a loud environment on Saturday as the Cowboys roll in Fort Worth. So let's go around the horn. Let's get everybody's predictions to wrap up. And, Nate, let's start with you. What do you think the prediction is going to be for Oklahoma State coming into Fort Worth taking on the Horned Frogs?
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I feel like there's going to be little to no defense, and I think it's going to be 56-42.
56-42? Whew.
Yes.
I might need some Mylanta by the end of that game. That's crazy. All right, Shannon, what do you think?
I'm gonna keep it in the high 30s. I think it'll be somewhere around, 37, 31, some, 37 if you want to go, let's go 37, 31. TCU obviously wins. I think it'll be closer than that, but I just think it's gonna be a, I think it's gonna be a high scoring game, and I may not be cut. I mean, it may be in the 40s, man. I don't know if it'll get to the 50s, but that means nobody's playing any defense.
Yeah.
So on either side of the ball. So I'm gonna give our defense a little credit and say that they'll give up some plays, but I think we'll tighten up at some point and contain them and do enough to win the game.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think the offenses are going to kind of go off a little bit on Saturday. I don't think they're going to go off as much as Nate does, but I definitely think it's going to be a high-scoring game. But I'm going to say 41-35 Frogs. I think the offense is going to do enough to keep the Frogs in the game, but I honestly think the defense is going to be better than what we saw last week. I
Sure.
think the defense has a chip on their shoulder after last week. I think they know they made mistakes. I think Kamara knows you can't tackle somebody with the shoulder now. And if he didn't know before Saturday, he certainly knew by the time he got back to the sideline after that play, you don't do that. And so it's going to be interesting to see how these guys kind of rebound, but I think this is the kind of team, and from what we're hearing from within the program, the chemistry on this team is outstanding. And if I know anything about teams that have outstanding chemistry, is that those guys lift each other up and they work with each other through the season. And I know for a fact that those guys, you've got leaders in that locker room that are going to guys and go, don't do that again, and work harder and work better, and we're going to get together as a team. And so I think that's going to be a big point of the success. But you know what? We may be wrong. They may stop, tackling altogether. We may have a 2020 season again as far as tackling on Saturday. Who knows? But hopefully that's not going to be the case, and the Frogs come out victorious. Well, I think that will do it for today. We want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us on the podcast. Of course, you can find the Killer Frogs on all the major podcast links. You can find us on Google Play and Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify and Stitcher. And of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com. You can read all about the Frogs on the Fan Zone on Sports Illustrated, or you can go ahead and go to the Killer Frogs forum, sign up for a free account, and let us know what your prediction for the game is going to be. With that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs.